From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, February 14th. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Lirico. Meet a native fruit that's easy to grow in the Midwest and full of antioxidants, the aronia berry.
If they're out there spending money buying pomegranates or acai powder, they need to be taking a look at us.
So why don't more U.S. consumers know about it? Efforts to better market the aronia berry, that story's coming up on The Gateway. A St. Louis Latino labor strike has grown to roughly 50 businesses. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz reports on one grassroots organization working to support local strikers.
More than a dozen women gather in a normally empty storefront tucked beneath the shadows of St. Louis Lambert International Airport. They stuff plastic grocery bags with thousands of dollars worth of food donations. The packages will be delivered to people in fear of heightened federal immigration enforcement efforts and who are participating in a week-long Latino labor strike.
We were not able to get as many funds as we wanted to, so we wanted to buy groceries and have those groceries available here for the people that want to join but are not able to.
That's Gabby Moreno, one of the co-founders of Manos Unidas STL. The fledgling mutual aid organization is a self-described group of fierce Latina women working to combat racial injustice. She says the strike is a way to advocate for immigration reform and highlight the contributions of St. Louis's immigrant community. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Schools has awarded a 3-year contract to a new transportation provider. Zoom will provide a fleet of more than 200 buses to the district, with about 50 designated to serve students with special needs. Chief Operations Officer Square Watson says he was confident Zoom would meet the district's needs after doing site visits at Kansas City Public Schools.
It is a new day, and we've done a lot of things now to get ourselves geared up, not only for today, but as we look forward in the future.
The move comes after Missouri Central School Bus canceled its contract with SLPS last year, leading to a patchwork of transportation providers this year. The buses are slated to arrive early this summer and will hit the roads next school year. The Missouri House passed 4 bills out of the chamber yesterday, including legislation allowing landlords to refuse tenants who receive federal housing assistance. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports.
The legislation says municipalities cannot enact or enforce any ordinance that prohibits landlords from refusing to lease to someone because they receive federal assistance. Landlords would also not be restricted in how much they could ask for a security deposit. Republican Representative Chris Brown is the sponsor of the bill. He says the bill wasn't an indictment on people who receive federal assistance.
This is simply a property rights bill. It's protecting your private property from being forced into a federal program against your will.
Some Democrats spoke against the legislation, with a majority voting no. The legislation now goes to the Missouri Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe was in St. Louis yesterday to celebrate how several statewide offices were moving into a historic downtown building. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
Kehoe, State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick, and State Treasurer Vivek Malik announced they've moved or are moving their St. Louis offices into the old post office. That comes after the state sold the Wainwright Building, a downtown facility that had been a home base for statewide officials. Kehoe says the decision to remain in downtown St. Louis should send a broader message.
Downtown is real. It's alive. We're going to keep it safe, and we want the thriving downtown that I knew as a kid when I used to hitchhike to Busch Stadium to go to the Cardinal games.
Last year, the state announced that they would move hundreds of employees from the city of St. Louis to Chesterfield. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The current plan for a new north-south Metrolink route known as the Green Line in St. Louis got a frosty reception last night at a mayoral forum at Harris Stowe State University. The 5-mile expansion of the light rail system would run along Jefferson Avenue from Chippewa to Fairground Park. It's currently in the environmental analysis phase. Costs are still being fine-tuned. But 3 of the 4 candidates say they do not support it in its current form. 8th Ward Alderwoman Kara Spencer says it has the potential to be an expensive boondoggle.
At $6.77 per person per mile, 4 times what it costs to take an Uber, is this worth mortgaging out for the next 50 years for 5 miles?
And businessman Andrew Jones says the city has more important things to worry about.
I'm saying superfluous things that, like the Green Line, all of those different things are an issue, but you also have to take into consideration it's not safe. riding buses up north.
Recorder of Deeds Michael Butler also opposed the Green Line because residents do not want it. Mayor Tashard Jones was the only vocal supporter. Also last night, Jones and Butler announced they have endorsed each other as their second choices. Jones says she appreciates the improvements Butler has made in his office.
I went down there to get a birth certificate not too long ago, and it was the easiest process I've ever been through. And I've been able to use his website to look up information regarding my family as I built my family tree.
Meanwhile, Butler says he and Jones may start from different places, but they generally end up agreeing on policy.
Moving forward for North City and trying to focus, get the attention on North City are things that we've heard for a long time. And we start to see plans on.
Voters can choose some or all of the candidates in the March 4th primary. The top two advance to the April general election. Jones and Spencer did not endorse another candidate. 11 universities in Missouri and Illinois have achieved a prestigious research ranking. St. Louis Public Radio's Jessica Rogan reports.
The Carnegie Foundation designated several regional schools as R1 institutions for the first time, including St. Louis University and Missouri University of Science and Technology. A new methodology helped many get the top ranking. David Borick is a vice provost of engineering at S&T. He says the school has been doing quality work for a long time.
There's a mood here that's exceptionally positive, and people are very happy that we've reached a point where a lot of hard work by a lot of good people that's been going on for a long time is recognized.
The R1 status will help schools achieve greater prestige, attract students, and bring in more money for research. I'm Jessica Rogan, St. Louis Public Radio.
It seems like every few years, a different kind of fruit or vegetable becomes hip and trendy. But what if the next healthy superfruit was being grown by farmers across the Midwest? Meet the aronia berry, also known as chokeberry. It's native to North America, and in recent years, it's gained a following for its reported health benefits and potential market. As Harvest Public Media's Hector Alejandro Arizate reports, however, some growers say they've struggled to build name recognition and demand for the fruit.
Dozens of wine and bourbon casks are filled with aging beer at Boulevard Brewery's processing room in Kansas City. One of the brewers, Brent Cox, cracks open their latest creation. An Aronia Berry Creek. The beer is ruby colored. It smells funky and sweet. And the taste is
deep flavor. Kind of really reminds me of like the kind of wines I like.
For this beer, Boulevard partnered up with the botanical team at Powell Gardens to harvest their very own aronia berries, more commonly known as chokeberries.
From like a brewer's standpoint, it's like always wanted to use native ingredients. Just kind of adds to the terroir and just the impact of flavors.
Aronia berries also can be made into syrup, wine, and juice. But while they're native to the U.S. and grow well in the Midwest, they haven't really caught on here. In fact, Poland is actually the world's largest producer.
You know, it's been tough going for the aronia industry. I mean, the public awareness is not very high.
Dale Hilgenkamp is president of the American Aronia Berry Association and grows them on his farm in Arlington, Nebraska. His association estimates there are more than 1 million fruit bushes being grown, mostly on farms in Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. But while Hilgenkamp says the bushes are easy to manage as a side crop, he says they have fewer members in the association than 8 years ago.
We just haven't been able to get any market development, haven't been able to get any, you know, larger companies on board to include aronia in their products.
Yet, this berry has a long and rich history throughout North America. Chris Van Meter is a horticulturalist at Powell Gardens, the source for Boulevard Brewery's berries. He says Native Americans use them as a food source and even medicinally.
When dried and used in combination with other plants, they make a good tea, a good jam, and are really helpful due to their large number of antioxidants and curing colds.
In recent years, researchers have also found that the berry's properties could help with hypertension, obesity, and other chronic conditions. For Dean Duval, the berry's potential is what drew him in. He's a retired chemist who now grows it on his family's Century Farm in western Iowa. He says it's for agriculture and people.
It fits with the sustainable and regenerative agricultural movement, and not just the antioxidants. I mean, it's high in soluble fibers, it's high in vitamin C, so there's a lot of positives about it.
But more than anything, Duval just wants more folks to know that Aronia berries exist. He says consumers just need to be educated.
This is a native superfruit that they should be consuming. If they're out there spending money buying pomegranates or acai powder, they need to be taking a look at us.
Duval sells the berries when he can, but gives lots of them away to friends, family, and neighbors. He says they're perfect in smoothies. I'm Hector Alejandro Arzate, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan Aul, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Happy Valentine's Day.